Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about your money, specifically what's going on with Black people, money, and how we manage it, particularly when it comes to loans. Well, my guests are from the Center for Responsible Lending in D.C. Courtney Robinson is policy counsel, and Ashley Harrington is special assistant to the president for the center. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you can't get through, please keep trying. I promise we will take as many phone calls as possible. And stay on the line because you will be able to hear the phone call. Let me go. They're laughing at me. Let me go to the phone line. John calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Is it me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, John.
Oh, wow. I was listening to your show when they said you can check your credit score through Bank of America and a different bank. Do you have to be a member of that bank to check your credit score?
Bank of America, yes. There are some that don't require you to actually have an account with them. I do not remember which bank it is, so I'm not going to shout anybody out who doesn't deserve a shout out. But with Bank of America, you do have to have an account with them. But even if you don't, there are plenty of other resources to get a free credit report and even pull your credit score, which is different than the actual number, for free.
The reason I'm asking, I'm a first-time home buyer myself, also, and I went through a divorce, and I gave her the other house, I gave her everything, and my credit score was 3-something then, and I went to the credit bureau or the office, and I tried to rectify that. I paid what I owe, and tried to separate the differences, and I had a chance to buy my first house, but now I still want to keep track to make sure she's not still not using my credit. How will I do so?
There was a person who was on a line of credit with you, like a cosign or.
It was my first wife.
Oh, yes, your first wife. So okay, reasonable. But there's still
only I wanted to divorce decree was my last name.
So, John, let me get some clarity. What is it that you're trying to find out?
Because my credit score, I'm still getting calls from people about bills that I owe that she's not used my last name.
Okay, so debt collection. People are calling you saying you owe money and you don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
Okay. So that's actually another issue. We know it's an issue. It's something that we are working on right now, along with the CFPB, who we keep talking about. But I would try to look into it. If they're calling you, I know it's terrible and you don't want to talk to them, but call them back. Try to figure out who's trying to take this money from you. I mean, because you might not even owe it, and you could very well be getting the calls because of your previous marriage, even though you don't actually owe anyone anything. Right. So the best thing you can do is find out. Okay.
Say again.
It is affecting my credit score.
So what you need to do, I would think we've had this discussion before on this program over the years, you need to talk to the individual credit bureaus. You need to find out what is on your credit score. And if there is inaccurate information, you need to challenge it. And there is a process through which, in contacting the individual credit bureaus, that you can challenge that information. It is tedious, but it is important that you do that. And so, you need to look at your credit score. You need to look at the individual ones and figure out what is on each, and then contact them, directly.
You have to contact each one.
Each one of them.
And if they can't prove that you owe it, they have to take it off.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. So it does take some time, but you can do it yourself. So, John, thank you so much, and I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Joe, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm calling because I'm a first-time homebuyer, right? I'm trying to find out what's the best way I should go about getting me a house for the first time. You know what I'm saying? You got lenders that's telling you, you tell them about a program like the Brown Teams. They say they got, we got a program that's, will give you $10,000 for down costs and assistance. But then you go to a lender and the lender tells you, man, that the program is no longer and it's about to run out of money. Like, what's the best way of going about finding out what can you do and what can type of programs can you get you an assistant?
So, again, it all goes back to doing your research. There's actually a website that I used when I was looking for a down payment assistance program. It's literally called like downpaymentassistance.com, and you can type in your information about where you live, what kind of programs you're looking for, and they can give you different options that you might qualify for. It doesn't mean that you will really qualify for them, but it gives you options that are available in D.C. In D.C., there are a number of programs for down payment assistance and first-time home buyers, which we're really lucky to have here as options. There's DC Open Doors. There's programs if you work for the city, things like that. So you can look at the DHCD website for some of those programs, or DCHD, yeah, website for some of those programs. And there are some programs that only go with certain lenders. So DC Open Doors, you have to go with one of their preferred lenders. And I think there's like 10 of them. So that is true that some programs only work with certain lenders. And again, you should be able to find most of that website by just doing a little bit, most of that information by doing a little bit of research.
Are you trying to buy in DC or Maryland or Virginia?
Honestly, I'm trying to buy either in Maryland or D.C.
Okay, well,
Maryland has a lot of great programs, too. I know PG County and Montgomery County have a number of down payment assistance programs and first-time home buyer programs.
And a lot of those depend on, you know how much money you make, where you want to move. Also, the state of Maryland has the Department of Housing and Community Development for years has had all kinds of programs, and this is, I believe, what my guests are talking about when you have to do your research. It's not one-stop shopping. And so, you know, Prince George's County, Montgomery County, Charles County, any of there may be local programs, there may be state programs. What do you do for a living?
I work for the government. So
which government?
I work for the government in the city of Maryland.
Okay.
So you should definitely have access to some programs as a city government employee.
That's right. There may be some programs. If you are a firefighter, if you are a police officer, if you are a teacher, there are live near your work programs. There are all kinds of things out there. It just requires you to kind of sit in front of your computer and get your fingers working and figure out what is the best fit for you. So that's a good start, Joe. Thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Hi, Felicia from Maryland. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. What's going on? What's on your mind?
Good. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I have a quick question. I just received or went through the process of a home loan, and I signed everything in a notary and all with the legal documents. After I signed, the loan company actually sent me some information that they had actually went up on the loan. Is that legal? It's like $199.
It depends on when it happened in the process.
On exactly what you signed and when you, like, did you sign? Did you close, or did you sign a disclosure? Because they send you disclosure several times throughout the closing process, and the only time that it has to be that final number, it can change. The only time it has to be that final number is the official closing documents that you're going to sign that you should ask for 3 days prior to closing. You can get them, and that number is what has to stay the same.
Okay, because it was after closing,
After you closed, then it should not have changed.
What kind of loan was it?
Refinancing loan.
Was it an adjustable?
No, it was a fixed rate.
Yeah. Okay. Ladies.
So
you're saying, it doesn't sound like it should be able to go up legally. I would file a complaint with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
I know, I was about to say, tell it.
Start with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. But it does not sound like, from what you're saying, that it's okay for that to have gone up.
Mm. Okay.
All right. Felicia, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before I go to another phone call, talk to me a little bit about this. And I think this is one of the things that I was speaking about earlier. There may be some, you know, untoward things going on on the other side of the table. But with that said, and you mentioned this earlier, Courtney, about personal responsibility. Talk to me about reading.
It's fundamental.
Reading is fundamental.
Yeah. Same
thought, same reading is fundamental. And not reading can be expensive.
Yes. Yes. There are a number of measures that agencies and our Congress and our previous president took to make disclosures easier and clearer. There are certain things that lenders have to tell you and have to tell you in a certain way. I mean, even when you're, I mean, Ashley, you know, you just got your house. When you are signing your forms, there are standard disclosures. Read them. They are simplified, I think, as best they can be. I mean, it's no longer where even 5 to 10 years ago, you would get a disclosure with a bunch of, you know, legal jumbling. You have no idea what's going on there, and you just signed it because you need the house and you need your card or whatever. You want to be done. Now there are standardized disclosures, and if information is not disclosed in a certain way, at a certain time, in a certain format, not only is it illegal, but whoever gave you that bad information will have to pay you a lot of money for giving it to you incorrectly. So read. It's to your benefit no matter what.
Okay. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about your money, how you manage it, particularly when it comes to loans of any stripe, mortgages, student loans, and the like. Let's go to Robin. Robin calling from Upper Marlboro. Robin, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I actually have a question regarding stocks, and I don't know if there's someone there that could assist. I had stock options and was scheduled to cash them in. There was a surrender date, and I unfortunately missed the surrender date, and now I'm told that there's no other options for me to get the money that was earned or raised during that time, and just trying to find out if there's any way. I know, like you just said, reading is fundamental, but is there any way or anything that I can exercise to try and obtain that money? Or is it actually just gone now?
I don't know whether or not you ladies have any expertise.
No, I just have slight personal knowledge, which is you might be in trouble, but I would keep, I would keep looking and researching, and most certainly, I think we have people who would have better resources for that. I know, like, the National Consumer Law Center. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're another nonprofit.
She said the National Consumer Law Center.
They actually, I can't say for sure that they have information, but since they work, they directly represent legal clients and on these kinds of matters, I would imagine that they probably have information about it. I would just check and see. I hope you can get your money.
And this is a private, I'm assuming this is a publicly held company that you worked for?
Yes. Yes, retired from and moving from one country to the to another, and been dealing with family medical issues. Mm-hmm. I just missed that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. How much money are we talking about here?
Over $200,000.
$200,000?
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Yeah. You know, certainly good luck to you. You may need to seek legal counsel there. And who knows? I mean, if it is a private company, there may be even a way for you to talk to the legal counsel of the company. But, you know, that may be unlikely because that if it's not your money now, it's their money. And they may be reticent to give that back. So certainly, you know, certainly good luck, and you may need to seek some legal counsel. So sorry about that, Robin, but thank you so much for giving us a call nevertheless. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, I want to make sure that we prep our guests, because I want to talk about student loans and also payday loans, the ups and the downs, the potholes, and in some cases, the landmines and speed bumps of those. So we'll talk about that in just a bit. We're also going to talk to Florence and Greg. You're still on the line. Stay with us. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about your money and how we manage it. I want to quickly talk, first of all, about student loans. Can you kind of give me an overview of where, you know, our black people who are looking to borrow for school get themselves in trouble?
Well, they get themselves in trouble, I would say, in two major places. First, they think about getting private student loans. And we cannot say this enough. You want to avoid private student loans as much as possible. As much as possible, you want to get your loans through the federal government. And that's because the federal government offers way more protections for your money and options for you in terms of paying it back than private loans do. Federal loans generally have a lower interest rate. They have payment plans that are based on your income, your discretionary income, so that you're never having to pay too much, more than you can afford to pay back your loans. They have plans where if you do certain types of work, the rest of your loans can get forgiven, sometimes tax-free. So you really want to go with federal loans as much as possible. You want to exhaust those options first. The other place black and brown people go wrong is they think about going to for-profit colleges. Cannot say this enough. You want to avoid for-profit colleges because, in general, they cost more and have poor outcomes. And you need to look at these things. So there are a number of for-profit colleges, and these are people like University of Phoenix, the ITTs, the RIDES. All of these are for-profit colleges. In general, they cost way more money, and they're still using your federal student loans. And for the most part, people don't finish, or they take longer to finish, and their options after graduating are fewer than if you have gone to a community college or a public school. So exhaust those options first. You don't have, just because they target us and you see those ads everywhere from the subways to the park benches in your community that says you can get your degree at University of Phoenix, you can get your degree here and here. Go to your public schools, go to your community colleges first. Look at those options first, because those degrees are still good. And they're cheaper. And they're cheaper not just now, but in the long run.
So, because there are some people that when you go to some of those for-profit educational institutions, I mean, some people do well. You know, okay. I think the issue can be, as you suggest, juggling paying for them.
They're more expensive, and
they graduate less. I mean, just overall, that's the case. And the sad truth of it is many for-profit colleges, They're just like they say, they're for profit. So their main interest is making money for their stockholders and things like that. So there are many for-profit colleges who spend the vast majority of their income on marketing.
I see.
Not on teachers, not on resources for students, but on marketing to get more students to spend more money at their institution.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Greg, calling from Fredericksburg, Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Greg?
It's Frederick, Maryland.
Oh, it's Frederick, Maryland. Okay. You know, charge it to my head, not my heart. Go right ahead.
It's okay. Hey, all I wanted to do was just, I don't know if I can contribute a piece to this, but we have to unify and teach other minorities, even our younger youth, about finances. And show them that there's multiple options that we can utilize to avoid all the unnecessary expenditures of and set our priorities correctly. So, you know, you benefit from your money and excelling in life, period. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And we did address that, you know, earlier, where, you know, the sooner you start with financial literacy, the better, not just for, you know, those young adults who didn't get the information, but in, you know, these modern times, you know, starting with children, piggy banks and the like, and showing how money, you know, can grow and teaching, you know, children not just about the fact that they may love, you know, a Happy Meal from McDonald's, but down the road, you know, finding out how much McDonald's stock could really be worth. Yeah. So, you know,
also,
go ahead. Go ahead.
At the same time, I try, you know, that flash, you want to show the cars and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all about that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you got in a bank account that's going to give you your quality of life when you're ready to retire.
Yeah. And like you said, Greg, that information starts as early as possible. So you make an excellent point, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Florence, calling from Beltsville. Florence, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening, everyone.
Hey, how are you?
Fine. I have two questions. Is it better to pay somebody to clean up my credit report?
No.
Sometimes when I'm going to work, I see a sign on the road. They can clean up your credit report for like 30 days.
No.
And my second question, if you have a stock, can you sell it and you can use the money for down payment?
Yes.
Can you use the money from stock for down payment?
Yes. Yes.
On the house?
Yes.
So okay. It's... No, and then yes.
Why no?
Do not.
Why no? Yeah.
These, I mean, this is with debt cleanup, quote unquote. This is with a student loan repayment
payment
assistance.
Help.
These organizations will take your money and not do anything, especially the credit cleanup ones. I mean, there are nonprofits that specifically work to help people with paying off their debt in a structured way in financial education. But, you know, if you see a billboard, you know, as you said, you're driving down the street, or as a general rule, if a commercial comes on in like the middle of Mari or something and they're telling you about cleaning up your credit, that's not it. Don't
and
do
for
it.
Student loan repayment, you can call the Department of Ed if it's a federal loan. Like, there are other ways, free ways, to get help in figuring out how you can make your payments affordable, how you can get on track with those. Go those ways first, because these are businesses. These are people who are trying to make money off your struggle. So look for free ways first and exhaust government resources and nonprofit resources before you call these numbers.
And you also mentioned the selling of stock. And for what?
For take a stock and use it for down payment on the house?
Generally, yes. Your stocks, your money.
That's your property.
Yeah.
But, you know, always, and this is really, you know, kind of a tax question. Mm. You know, if you have stock, is the stock in a retirement fund, or is it in a outside of a retirement fund?
Outside.
It's outside of a retirement fund. So here's the thing, and I'm sure these ladies can attest to this also. If it is outside of your retirement fund, and let's say you have ExxonMobil and Tesla and Facebook stock, and you want to sell $20,000 worth of stock to put a down payment on your dream home or your starter home or what have you, you need to make sure that you know about capital gains tax and make sure that everybody, all the people that need to be notified in this process, know why you're selling the stock. Because if you just sell the stock and put the money in the bank, you may inquire capital gains tax. So, you know, make sure that when you're going through the process, and I'm certainly not an expert, which is why you need to talk to, you know, your financial expert as well as your tax person to make sure that you don't get dinged by Uncle Sam while you're trying to buy your home. Okay?
Thank you.
You are quite welcome, Florence. Thank you so much. Let's talk real quick during this last 3 minutes or so about payday loans and unbanked communities. What is a payday loan, and why is it that they are so bad for underserved or unbanked communities?
Well, you can't have a payday loan and be unbanked. That's the
common misconception, because the payday loan industry is predicated on the fact that they can take money directly from your bank account right after your check drops. So they get their money first before you pay any other bills, before you pay that rent, before you pay the light bill, before you pay anything else. They have access to your bank account because you're giving them a check in exchange for the option to get money right then. And the main problem with payday loans are the interest rates are sky high. I mean, the average interest rate on a payday loan is about 400%.
Mm. Oof.
Which means that you can take out a loan for $200 and end up paying back $5,000. And that's what people do. They take out a loan and end up having to take out another loan to pay back that loan and end up in a cycle of debt. And it's a major issue. And it's an issue in our communities because these are the loans where you go into a community and you see something that says checks cashed or car title lending, things like all of those things have the potential for these really high interest rates and to put you in a cycle of debt.
Yeah. And I will agree. I mean, there is an issue with our communities being underbanked and underserved. You know, people will have maintenance fees on their checking accounts. They have a hard time getting credit, things like that. So those kind of things, I think, would push people into feeling like a payday loan is a good option. But if you know, if you're getting a steady check and you have a bank account, which is why you can get a payday loan in the first place, there are other options.
Such as
the same thing I was talking about earlier. A lot of credit unions and community development financial institutions offer payday loan alternatives, and they actually call them PAL loans. And so instead of charging that 300-400%, they'll charge something that's more reasonable, like a 36. I mean, that's still high. I mean, higher than a lot of states allow, but much more reasonable in comparison. And they'll require you to do things for your own financial health. Like, you know, you can get this payday advance loan if you show us that you have a job, which you know, have to do with payday loans most of the time anyway. And then also open a savings account. So every time you know, pay towards this loan, some of the money goes into your savings. Or they'll make you do credit counseling. So in addition to in exchange for getting this loan, you'll have to take credit counseling and things like that. So there are organizations stepping in to fill that gap. But understand, as Ashley said, this entire industry is predicated on them being able to get your money over and over again.
I think we can stop right there. Lots of great information. And I want to thank both of you, Courtney Robinson and Ashley Harrington, for coming in and sharing with us. I appreciate it. And also, all of the information that we share tonight will be posted on WHUR.com, including the website responsiblelending.org. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, February 22nd. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or DailyDrumWHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHUR.